Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness. I've been going through the book of Jeremiah here recently, and let me tell you, I am absolutely amazed at the parallels between where the nation or nations of Judah and Israel were and where America is. And it's amazing how God uses His word as parallels, and we get to see how the people of God, because Israel and Judah were the people of God, and we that have given our lives to Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, we're now the people of God. We've been grafted in by the work of the cross. And it's amazing the parallels as I read this that I see is like, wow, that's how the church is acting. That's how the world is acting I believe America has so separated herself from the truth of the Word of God. And it's time to get back to the truth and the power of the Word of God. We talked about that last week, about returning to the way, about returning to the Word, and about returning to worship. And I want to look again in the book of Jeremiah tonight, chapter 36, because we find an incredibly interesting story about the man known as the weeping prophet. That's what Jeremiah, he was called the weeping prophet, because Jeremiah was tasked by God to be a prophet to the nations of Israel and of Judah, but they, like America, were incredibly hard-hearted and stubborn towards the Word of God, and it caused Jeremiah to be burdened by their sin and by their stubbornness, and to lament for the people of God. And looking at this passage and looking at this story, I can't get away from those similarities of America and Judah and Israel. And God gave us His word as a lesson plan for our individual lives, but He also gave us His word as an insight to where we are in current events in the world. So the Word of God is applicable to your life on a personal level, but it's also applicable on a worldwide or a nationwide level. It shows us what's going on in our life, but it also shows us what's going on in the world, so that we don't have to live in confusion. We don't have to live in worry. We can go, oh, okay, that's why this is happening, because this is what it says in the Word of God. And so that's why it's so important that we're grounded and founded in the Word of God, is so that we're not confused, we're not caught off guard, we're not, you know, burdened by worry or doubt. We understand, because the Word of God is a game plan for our personal lives, but also for the scope of what's happening in the world. And I believe that the book of Jeremiah gives us a perfect insight into where we are as a nation. And it's amazing to me how culture changes, style changes. You know, you're not wearing the same thing you were wearing in the 80s. I wasn't even alive in the 80s, but you're not wearing the same thing you were wearing in the 80s or in the 90s. Style changes, preferences changes, culture changes, you know, all kinds of things. Political forces and leaders in the world change. But there's one thing that in this realm that stays the same, and that is human nature. Obviously, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But amongst people, one thing remains the same is human nature. And we are still born with a sin nature. We're still stubborn. And we still need to learn how to trust that our Father knows best. And I want to preach a sermon to you tonight called Don't Burn the Blessing, out of the book of Jeremiah chapter 36. Don't burn the blessing, because the Word of God is a blessing. And sometimes the Word of God comes to bring correction and conviction to our life. And we have a temptation because of our human nature to reject it. Because one thing stays the same, human nature. I'm right. I know I'm right. I'm always right. I'm always going to be right. And that is what was happening in the people of Israel's life, is they were refusing the correction that God had been speaking through the prophet Jeremiah for years and years and years, because they thought He was trying to come down on them, but really He was trying to invite them into a blessing. So don't burn the blessing. So we have a tendency, before we get into this scripture, I just want to set some stuff up. We have a tendency to throw away what we don't want, even when it's exactly what we need. We take it and we throw it away because we don't want it. But in reality, it's exactly what we need. I was listening to an old Christian artist today by the name of Rich Mullins. You probably know "Our God is an Awesome God." I quoted him last week. I'm going to quote him again this week. This is actually from a song that he wrote. He says, "Surrender don't come naturally to me." I know that's not proper English, but it goes really well in a song. "Surrender don't come natural to me. I'd rather fight you for something I don't really want than take what you give that I need." Isn't that where we all are a lot of times? We'd rather fight somebody for something we don't want than take what they're giving to us that we actually need. Because we have a tendency to be stubborn. We all have that inside of us. And I said it last week and I find it to be completely true in life. God is more concerned with your calling than He is your comfort. And I believe in the same way, He's more concerned with what you need than what you want. Now don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean He's not concerned with what you want, because it says He'll give you the desires of your heart. I'm not saying God isn't concerned. I'm saying He's more concerned because He's a good Father with what you need than what you want. Not that He's not concerned with what you want, it's that He's more concerned with what you need than what you want. Because like a good father or like a good mother, any good parent, if you are a good parent, you're more inclined to give your child what they need more than what they want. Just like your child wants Dairy Queen, but they need chicken and potatoes and green beans, right? But if it were up to them, they'd eat ice cream for dinner. But because you're a good parent, you feed them their dinner before you feed them their ice cream. It's not that you don't want to give them the ice cream. It's that you understand if they don't get what they need, then they won't have the proper nutrients and they won't grow and they won't be healthy if you just feed them candy and sugar all the time. And so we have a human nature that wants things, but tends to reject what we actually need. And so let's not be those kinds of people. Let's be people that whatever He speaks or He gives to us, we understand whatever He sends our way, it's exactly what we need. And if we are obedient to take what He needs, then I believe that He blesses us with the desires of our heart, what we want. It's like in the book of Psalm, chapter 34, David says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." God wants to give you the desires of your heart. It's not that He doesn't want to, but that word delight yourself in the Lord, that word delight means to remain pliable in the hands of the Lord. So essentially what David is saying is remain moldable and shapeable and pliable in the hands of the Lord. And as He shapes you into who He's called you to be, your desires will actually look a lot more like His desires. So He'll give you the desires of your heart because you've remained pliable. You've delighted yourself in Him. You've made sure that He has control, that He is in charge. And so whatever He speaks to us is exactly what we need. But sometimes what we need comes in a package that we don't want. And in that moment, we're tempted to reject it, right? That's like tonight, we ate Chick-fil-A and Judah wanted Jack's. And so he said he didn't really like the chicken from Chick-fil-A. But it's not that he doesn't like the chicken from Chick-fil-A, it's that he wanted the chicken from Jack's. And as a parent, I had to tell him, "Son, you are going to eat what it is that I've purchased for you. And because this is, it's not what you want, but it's what you need because it's what your parents have provided for you." So that's a silly example, but it's true. So hopefully by now you've gotten to Jeremiah chapter 36. And we're going to start reading in verse 1. And we're going to kind of stop. This is a little bit different than how I normally go through scripture. We're going to kind of stop periodically and talk a little bit about what's going on in this story, because it's a fascinating story. When I read this yesterday, I was just absolutely, I'd read it before obviously, but it just caught me in a whole new way because of the reality of where we are today and what's going on in our world. So Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 1. "Now it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of King Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, 'Take a scroll of a book and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, and against all the nations. From the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah, even to this day.'" Now you understand, Josiah was the king before Jehoiakim, and now Jehoiakim, we're in the fourth year, I believe it says, of Jehoiakim. So there are years and years and years worth of prophecy that he's writing down. This must have been a very long scroll. So he's saying, "I want you to take all the words that I've ever spoken against Judah and against Israel and against all the nations, and I want you to write them down so that," listen to this in verse 3, "it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities which I purpose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil way that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. The whole goal of God in this story was to get people to turn back to Him. It wasn't to destroy them. It wasn't to curse them. It was to bless them. But He wanted to use a package that they didn't want, but a package that they needed to turn their heart back to Him. And so you have to understand, before we go any further, because you have to, if you don't get this, you won't understand the rest of the story, that the whole goal behind God doing this was that His people would return to Him. So in verse 4 it says, "Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote on a scroll of a book at the instruction of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken to him. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, 'I am confined. I cannot go to the house of the Lord.'" Because of Jeremiah, because of the words that God had given him, these words that he's writing down, he's been put under house arrest. The king absolutely hates Jeremiah. He doesn't want to see him anymore. He doesn't want to talk to him anymore. He doesn't want to hear from him anymore. So he said, "You are under house arrest." And so God gives Jeremiah this word so that, because I love it, because the word of God says the word of God is not bound. So even though they bound Jeremiah in his house, the word of God is still going to go forward, because you can't bind the word of God. So he says, "Baruch, I'm confined. I can't go to the house of the Lord. You know you're in a messed up church when they kick the prophet out of the church and say, 'You got to stay home. You can't come anymore. You just sit over there and do whatever God tells you to do, but don't come in our church and mess up our pretty little sanctuary.'" Verse 6 says, "You go therefore and read from the scroll which you have written at my instruction, the words of the Lord, in the hearing of the people in the Lord's house." Listen to this. On the day of fasting. We are coming upon a day of fasting at the end of this month, and I believe that it's going to be powerful. It's going to transform things in your life. It's going to transform things in our nation, because fasting moves the heart of God. And I find it interesting that that's what is going on in this story. Is he said, on the day of fasting, I want you to go to the house of the Lord. I want you to read this scroll. He says, "It may be present. It may be that they will present," I'm sorry, "their supplication before the Lord, and everyone will turn from their evil way. For great is the anger and the fear of the Lord that he has pronounced on his people." So again, the heart is to get people to turn back, to repent. Verse 8, "And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet had commanded him, reading from the books of the word in the house of the Lord." So what happens, we're going to not read the entire chapter because it's a long chapter, so we're going to kind of skip around a little bit. But what happens is Baruch goes to the house of the Lord. I'm so sorry, excuse me. And he reads the scroll which Jeremiah has commanded him to write. And as he's doing so, there's a young man by the name of Micaiah who hears these words. And Micaiah runs to tell his father everything that's going on. Now, this is not the same Micaiah that was over in the book of 2 Kings in the story of Ahab and Jehoshaphat, that Jehoshaphat says, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord that we can, you know, we can get counsel from?" And Ahab says, "Oh, don't call him. He never prophesies anything good concerning me," right? Because he was upset at Micaiah because Micaiah told him what he needed to hear, not what he wanted to hear. And so it's funny, those two names tie in even though they're separate people. So Micaiah hears the scroll. He goes to tell his father what's going on, and he tells him the words that come from God. And so let's pick up in verse 16. "Now it happened when they," Micaiah's father and all the people with him, "heard the words, that they looked in fear from one to another and said to Baruch, 'We will surely tell the king all of these words.'" So now, it's interesting that it says that they looked in fear, because exactly what God wanted to happen is starting to happen. The people hear the word and they're struck with the fear of God. Not just the fear of being destroyed, but I believe that they had a holy fear to turn back to the Lord, because we're going to see later how they responded to this. They say, "Surely we will tell the king all these words." Verse 17, "And they asked Baruch, saying, 'Tell us, how did you write these words at his instruction,'" speaking of Jeremiah. "So Baruch answered them, 'He proclaimed with his mouth all these words, and I wrote them with ink in the book.' Then the princes said to Baruch, 'Go and hide yourself, you and Jeremiah, and let no one know where you are.'" And as we look at this story, I just want to say that God will not allow me to get away from the theme of repentance, which if you know me, it's never been like something that I would just say, repent, repent, repent. I'm not like a turn or burn, hell or you know, get right or get left, hellfire and brimstone type of preacher. But I think that's the problem, is we have linked repentance with somebody screaming at us and jumping up and down and saying, you're going to go to hell. But repentance is a gracious message. Not a message of judgment. And God is trying to give grace to his people, saying, I'm going to send this blessing. I'm going to send this word so that you will be sorry for what you've done and you'll come back to me, and I won't have to release the judgment that is on me. Because listen, here's why you have to understand judgment is so important, is the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, judgment must begin in the house of the Lord first. So don't just be looking, oh, they're going to be the people out there that are doing wrong. No, judgment begins right here. And if we don't return, if we don't repent, if we don't retrain our minds to think the way that God thinks instead of the way that we want to think or the way that the world has told us to think, then the judgment is going to come first to the house of the Lord. And so we have to understand repentance, not a message of hate, not a message of condemnation, but a message of grace that says, come back to me. God's saying, I just want fellowship with you again. I want you to be in right standing with me again. I want you to be what I've purposed you to be, but you can't do it if you don't return to what I've called you to be, because the church has drifted so far from the truth of what God has called us to be. It's not about putting on a production or putting on a show or being cool or doing this or doing that. It's about loving God and loving people. And everything that we do needs to come back to those two things. If that is not happening, we don't need to be doing it. Because he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And he said, on these hang all the law and the prophets. So if you follow these two things, you've got it all figured out. That's the most important thing. And so just returning to a heart of repentance. And I've been talking with my dad over in Scottsboro. He has preached on repentance for the last 2 weeks. And I didn't even know that until the other day, because God is moving us in this direction. That's what the whole goal of the return. That's why it's called return, is to repent, to return back to the Lord, to who he has called us to be. It's a message that God wants to get out, and he's going to keep sending it until we respond. He's going to keep sending it until we respond. So if we sit back and go, I don't need to repent, I don't need to repent, we're not resisting a person, we're resisting the word of God. Because God is saying, not just to this house, not just to your house, but to the world, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I read it again today where John the Baptist spoke and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he said, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Bear fruit. So don't just repent and say, I'm sorry, but then begin to bear fruit that's worthy of the repentance that you have confessed, that you have changed, that you have made in your mind. And so I believe that this was the heart of God for his people through the words of Jeremiah, was to repent. So let's go back over this. Jeremiah calls his servant to dictate a scroll, his secretary. The Bible literally calls him his secretary, to dictate a scroll. And the servant or the secretary's name happens to be Baruch. Now, if you are familiar with Hebrew at all, you probably know what that means. It literally means blessed. Okay? And so that's why this sermon is called Don't Burn the Blessing, because I don't think it's any coincidence that Jeremiah chose that servant to deliver this message to the people of Israel and Judah. And I don't think it's any coincidence, and I don't think that God just haphazardly chose him to deliver this. God wanted to say, I am sending you a blessing through my word. Okay, I'm sending you a blessing, because God knew exactly what he was doing. And the names in this story, you're going to see it in a little bit, they hold so much meaning and power, because God doesn't miss one tiny detail. He always dots his I's. He always crosses his T's. He knows exactly what's going on. He's not caught off guard or caught by surprise. And every time that there is a word from God, whether it's a word of correction, whether it's a word of encouragement, whether it's a word of instruction or of affirmation, it's always a blessing. Amen. It's always a blessing. And so the messenger that Jeremiah sent was a prophetic sign to show God's people that even though the message was a message of impending judgment, it was a blessing to give them an opportunity to return back to the Lord. So, because they would have known that the word, that's literally the same word. It would be like Madison and Madison. It wasn't Baruch is his name and it means blessing. Baruch is the actual word that you would use for blessed. So his name would literally, if you addressed him, would be, "Hey, blessed, how are you doing today?" Wouldn't that be a great name to have? Hey, blessed, people would be speaking blessings over you all the time. You'd just be more, bring it on, blessing, blessing, blessing. But his name was literally blessed, and it was a prophetic sign to show that God was sending them a blessing. But Judah had an evil king. Even though he had a righteous father, the king Jehoiakim was very, very evil. And because Jeremiah told him what he needed to hear instead of what he wanted to hear, he was frustrated. He put Jeremiah under house arrest. And that's why the princes told Baruch, after he delivered the message to them, they said, "You go hide yourself and hide Jeremiah." Because they knew that the king was going to be angry, he was going to be frustrated, and he was going to be mad. And so they tell him to go hide, and they take the scroll to the king, and the scribe begins to read it to him, to the king. Now it says, let's pick up in verse 22 of Jeremiah 36. This is when they go to address the king. Let's just pick up in verse 20. "So they went into the court of the king, having put the scroll in the chamber of Elishama the secretary, and they reported all the words to the king. Then the king sent Jehudi to get the scroll." So they literally hid the scroll, and they tell the king, and he says, "You go get that scroll, and you bring it here." And so they bring the scroll to the king in verse 21. "The king sent Jehudi to get the scroll, and he took it from the chamber of Elishama the secretary, and Jehudi read it to the king and all the officials who stood behind the king." Now listen to this. "It was the ninth month, and the king was sitting in the winter house, and there was a fire burning in the fire pot before him. He was sitting in a place of comfort. He was sitting in a place of ease. He was warming himself by the fire. And in fact, the Bible says, listen to this, it was the ninth month." Now I understand that the Hebrew calendar and the calendar we live by are two different things, but I think it's also a coincidence that September is the ninth month of our calendar, and it says that they were living in the ninth month. I'm telling you, there's so many parallels that God is trying to show us, and he's trying to wake us up. And in the ninth month of the year, when things are seemingly getting a little bit more back to normal, there's a temptation to go back to things that are comfortable. Maybe during COVID it stretched your faith and you had to believe God for things like you've never believed for him before. But now that things are opening back up, now that things are becoming more and more normal, there's a temptation to settle back into a place of ease. And Jeremiah, the man of God, is living under house arrest, but the king, who's evil, is warming himself by the fire. He's sitting in a place of comfort. He's sitting in a place of ease, and he's in his winter house. And doom has been there's been impending doom for years. Jeremiah has been preaching for years that judgment's going to come, that Babylon is going to come, that Nebuchadnezzar is going to take away the people and lead them away captive. And Jehoiakim keeps saying, "It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen." The king of Israel keeps saying, "It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen." And now here they are. He's sitting in the place that was comfortable, and he refused to acknowledge the fact that doom was coming, that judgment was coming, because he was comfortable. And sometimes we refuse to believe that judgment will begin in the house of the Lord because we feel comfortable. We're comfortable with our idiosyncrasies. We're comfortable with our shortcomings. We're comfortable with having an attitude. We're comfortable with this type of lifestyle. And we refuse to believe that judgment is coming because we don't feel like it's coming. The king thought it was never going to come. But the word of God is not bound, and the word of God cannot be found a liar. And that's what happens sometimes, is we get lulled to sleep by the false peace and comfort of the world. But Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." Not like the world gives, but my peace. It's a different kind of peace. And there were three princes that who had been, the ones earlier that we read about, it says they were struck with fear and they looked at one another. They were struck with the fear of God when they heard the scroll, and they were the ones who brought it to the king. And now let's read verse 23. And it says in verse 23, as Jehudi read three or four columns, the king would cut them off with a knife and throw them into the fire in the fire pot until the entire scroll was consumed in the fire that was in the fire pot. So the word that God sent, the blessing that God sent, he's taking it as it's read, column by column, he's cutting it off, and he's throwing it in the fire. He's burning the blessing that's coming from God because it wasn't what he wanted to hear. But what was he burning it in? He was burning it in the same fire pot that he was sitting by getting comfortable and getting warmed by. And it was giving him a false sense of comfort. Even though his entire nation was about to fall to Babylon and be taken away captive, he thought everything was okay because he was comfortable. And listen, we can get real comfortable in the church. We can get real comfortable in our house. We can get real comfortable and everything is fine in my little life. But you forget that in Seattle, people are rioting. People are going crazy. That around the world, that people down in South Alabama and along the Gulf, are their homes are getting torn apart. And we don't care because it doesn't affect us. Because we're comfortable. We're in our winter house in the ninth month. We've got a fire going. And God is trying to send us a wake-up call that's a blessing, because the word that comes from God is a blessing, just like Baruch. And he's sending it to us, and we're cutting it off and throwing it in the fire. Just letting it go. And I want to encourage you tonight. Anything that God says, I know he's saying repentance, 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 and I know that we don't want to hear that, but don't throw it in the fire. Because the end result is Babylon does come, and Babylon does conquer, and Babylon does carry them away, and Babylon does make them slaves and rules over them, but the king didn't want to accept it. So I encourage you, don't reject the word of the Lord. And I want to show you something. These three princes that were struck with fear, their names, what they meant. The first one, his name was Elnathan. Elnathan. And that means God has given. The second one, his name was Deliah, which means Yah, which is another word for God. Yah has drawn. And then Gemariah is the third one, and his name means Yah has accomplished. So God is showing us, even through these gentlemen's names, what he's doing. God has given his blessing. But then when the king rejected it and began to cut it off, God has drawn and God has accomplished. Because you have to understand, whatever God says is going to happen. And there's something called a season of grace. And I believe that God is giving us a season of grace as the church, a season of grace as America, to get our hearts right, to get our lives right, to get our focus back, to get our passion back, to get our fight back in us, to not just lay down and let whatever the world says and whatever happens, just, oh, it'll be all right, as long as we're still comfortable in our winter palace and we've still got a fire going and everything's how we want it to be. No, God is saying it's time to wake up, because I've given you a blessing. But if you don't receive it, if you burn the blessing, you've burned it. There's a season of grace. And I'm not saying that the grace of God is not able to cover sin. I'm not saying you can never come back. I'm not saying you can never repent again. But I'm telling you, judgment is going to begin in the house of the Lord. And it's important that we are ready. It's important that we're repentant. It's important that we don't just repent, but we stay in repentance and we keep our heart towards the Lord, and that we don't burn the blessing, even if the blessing looks like what we don't want it to look like. Because what Jehoiakim wanted was Jeremiah to say, everything's going to be fine. You're going to have victory. Everything's going to be good. And he only believed what he wanted to believe. So my question tonight is, will we only believe what we want to believe? Will we only hear what we want to hear? Will we only obey what we want to obey? Or will we realize that even the message of repentance is a message of grace? It's a message of acceptance. It's an invitation. It's a message of hope. It's what God is saying to his people in the church today. And I want you to remember, Elnathan, God has given. God has given us an opportunity And the thing about an opportunity is it must be used. It's like seize the opportunity of a lifetime in the lifetime of the opportunity is what my dad has always said. Because opportunities don't last forever. And God is sending a window in a season of grace for us to say within our hearts that we are going to choose to listen to what he's saying. That we're not going to burn the blessing, but we're going to allow the blessing to burn inside of us. Because that's what God wanted. Because Jeremiah said, your word, it's like a fire that's shut up inside of my bones. And so the goal of God sending the word to his people was that, like Jeremiah burning in his bones, that it would burn in their bones. But the king was foolish, and he took it and he burned it in the fire. Can you imagine the callousness and the way that he would take it line by line? He'd cut it off and he'd throw it in the fire. It's so evil. And it's easy for us to sit here and judge him, but sometimes we do the same exact thing. And I feel like that's what God's saying is don't burn the blessing. But here's the other thing that I love. Is if you choose to be ones, and I know that you are, I know that you will, to obey the Lord and to heed the voice of the Lord. It says that the king said, go get Baruch, go get him and go get Jeremiah. And it says that they look for him, but none could find them because the Lord had hid them. None could find them because the Lord had hid them. And so if you choose to stay in God, it doesn't matter what evil force comes after you, he will protect you. And the thing is even though the enemy tried to destroy the word of God, what God tells Jeremiah is he says, I want you to go, I want you to get another scroll, and I want you to write it exactly like I told you to. But let's pick up and we're going to begin to close in just a moment with this. Listen to verse 32 of chapter 36. Then Jeremiah took another scroll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote on it at the dictation of Jeremiah all the words of the scroll for Jehoiakim, king of Judah, which he had burned in the fire, and many similar words were added to them. So you can try to counteract what God is doing, but even when you try to eliminate or to burn or to tear down what God is doing. And what are people doing all around the streets? They're burning, they're looting, they're rioting. Even if you try to tear down what God is doing, it's going to come back. And it's not just going to be at the same force, it's going to be at a greater force. It wasn't just what he had spoken to Jeremiah the first time, but many similar words were added to it. I believe that God is a God of more. Not just enough, but he's a God of more than enough. And I believe that as we serve him, as we obey him, as we love him, that blessing, and we don't burn the blessing, but we receive the blessing. And whatever God says, God, we should live with the idea of God, whatever you say to me, I'm already going to say yes. I love that's what Pastor Frankie says is you need to decide in your mind right now, before God ever asked you a question or before God ever asked anything of you, the answer should always be yes. God, whatever you say, it's already yes. Because he knows best, and he's a good father that gives us what we need and not just what we want. I know we don't want a message on repentance, but we need it. Even though we had it last week, even though we're going to be praying for it in a couple weeks because judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And if we're not repentant, then how can we expect the world to be repentant? But he's calling his church back to himself. From a place of love, not from a place of judgment. Remember, the whole goal of sending Baruch with the words of Jeremiah was to save the people, not to condemn the people. It was to help the people, not to hurt the people. It was to give them forgiveness, not to torment them. It was to set them free, not to bring them into bondage. But the king burned the blessing. And I'm just telling you, don't burn the blessing of the message of repentance. Receive it and go, God, you keep saying this. There must be something in my heart. And listen, repentance doesn't just have to be about lust or greed or stealing. It's about, God, forgive me for the way that I have trusted my own ways above your ways. God, forgive me for how I have been rejecting you or for how I've been misinterpreting what you're saying. There's so many things that could be repented of. And it's not just things that are dirty or things that are the worst thing that you could possibly imagine. But God's saying, I want you to get to the place where you just say yes before I even ask the question. Because you're that open and you're that ready and you're that receptive to me. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me tonight? I hope that this has struck a chord somewhere in your heart. I hope that you see the parallel and the the severity of where we are as a nation and the severity of where the church is and where we need to be and what we need to be doing, because I believe that this is so strong and it's so true. And so I hope that you receive this word tonight. If you would, bow your head with me and let's just pray as we close out this service. God, I ask that you would help us as a church, God, not just here in Fort Payne, but around the world, and that you would help us to not burn the blessing. God, there's so many people that you're crying out, repent, repent, and they refuse to preach the message of repentance. They refuse to receive the message of repentance. And like the king, God, they cut it off and they throw it in the fire and think, that's not for me. That's never going to happen. But God, I pray that people's hearts would be open to understand the love and the grace that comes from you, God. And help us not be prideful and think, well, we don't need repentance. It's only other people that need this message, God. We say we need it, God, and we receive it, God. And we change our minds for the way that we've thought. God, forgive us for wrong mindsets, for the way that we've thought against other believers, for the way we've thought against unbelievers, for the way that we have thought about you that is wrong, God. I just ask that you would forgive us, God. We echo the words of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, that says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, shall hear them from heaven and heal their land. God, we cry out, heal our land. Save our nation, God. Save your people, God. The people that you redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And help us to be messengers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you, we honor you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace, and may you never burn the blessing of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.